right, welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We just heard, one of the themes from Kamen Rider. Min, I'm here with Min on CJSF's Speak Up at 90.1 FM. Min, you were telling me while that song was playing some of the lyrics. Do you want to fill the listeners in on what some of the lyrics to that track were? Or what they're about?
Look it up on the official translation?
Oh, sure, but I mean, you seem to have a pretty good idea when you were telling me.
Well, some you can imagine is talk about how the commander have to remember, make it clear who they want to protect and what sort of future they're trying to protect. Because in the show, they have a lot of doubts. There are like four Kamen Riders, and they kind of fight against each other. Some of them were traitors, and some of them were like a monster in disguise, you know. So I also say that there are many mysteries in the world, and they should know to open their eyes, see things clearly, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And why did you pick that opening in particular? What is it about that one that speaks to you or that you like?
Well, it just kind of stand out for me that the song sound the most catchy for me in the many songs of Kamen Rider that also have like over 50 years old.
Mm-hmm. And so does each season have its own theme?
Each season have their own themes. The studio may also like invest lots of money into making songs, because they kind of set out tones, and especially like make the epic scenes when the plot twist much more emotional. One thing I kind of noticed from Japanese media, like Kamen Rider or Super Sentai, they kind of really have the very cinematic music that very often they put music into the fight scenes, and a fight scene every 50 episode, and in American media, maybe sometimes you don't have that kind of feel. The director may just leave the fight scene without music, as is it like that, just for people to focus on the choreography,
right?
Maybe, in Japanese media, maybe they put music into the scene to emphasize like all the ideals that the character or the thoughts that the character maybe having in, and more emphasize on the character mental development. Why the fight may be just the action may be just for maybe visual entertainment. Yeah.
Right. And you've mentioned that there are 50 seasons of each of these. Do you have a favorite Kamen Rider season?
Oh, okay. Favorite Kamen Rider is kind of hard to pick. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to pick on. Maybe I can choose Kamen Rider O's. There's this Kamen Rider, their name is like O-O-O.
Okay.
And they pronounce it as O's, like O's with an S.
Right.
And doesn't have anything to do with the Wizard of Oz, no. this Kamen Rider use coins to transform, and in the show there's like some kind of magic coins that born from people greed.
Okay.
When you kind of like desire something, and the stronger you want that thing. If you have this coin put inside you, and they're gonna just feed on your desires, turn you into a monster of some sort, and the coin's gonna multiply by itself, and the karma gonna come into like a take those coin out of you to turn you back into a normal person. No, I think the monster may actually come outside of you, and by defeat them, the monster just kind of restore peace back to the people. But they also like the villain of the shows, or like a monster created from ancient alchemy.
Okay.
And they were also sealed away by just ancient civilization, but in the modern day architects, people found their kind of tomb, and the seal were actually removed, and set the story back into the present, that kind of thing. And just this villain, they are also created from special coins with color. There are coins with color and coins without color. And they call this coin with color core metal, and without color would be cell metal. So the cell are created from the core to form a proper monster.
Okay,
it's kind of why the core metals have more powers. They have animal powers within them too, and the protagonist used a belt that's. He put three coins into the belt with three different animal powers, and then he transforms like that. And there would be medals with sea animal power, animal with insect animal power, and some would be in a Y animal power, like lion, tigers, and cheetah. So with different sets of coins, he turned multiple colors, and he can mix match them too. So give him a lot more power than as usual Power Rangers. Yeah.
Is that why you like that season? Is because of sort of the mixing of powers, and you get sort of different combinations?
I kind of impressed by the concept of how monster create from people greed. Let's talk about a lot of about greed and desire. That's the main theme. It's, throughout the shows, every episode they have at least three important things that you should remember, and they kind of put it at the front and at the end of the episode, a reminder for not just the adults, but also like children viewers.
Right, sort of like a moral to the story, or
no, it's like a recap. Like a there are three things that happened from the previous episode.
Oh, okay.
Or like a three things happened this episode. You can see like kind of clear escalation, but maybe you can skip those recap, and if you pay attention enough, you see a lot of you may actually don't have to pay attention. It's just right on the eyes that every episode have a very clear sting escalation that goes down to the big climax at the end. They kind of split it like first 10 episodes one part, next 10 episodes would be second part, climax would be around at the last 40 to 50 episode, or maybe 30 to 40, and you may already reach that part. I watched it kind of long ago, but I still remember the heroes and the villains fight over to trying to steal each other coins. And if you get like a full set, you get a lot of power. You may go out of control, but that's what the villain wants. And the protagonist actually trying to like destroy those coins. And you know what? He actually found some even more dangerous set of coins, and they give him just like overwhelming power.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of fuse into him and slowly changing him into a monster similar to the villain. And for a story that's about greed and desire, the protagonist is introduced as someone who's actually doesn't have any kind of desire
right.
or wishes. It's contradict the whole thing. And he only become a hero because he have a strong sense of justice, a strong sense of helping people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to imply. And for the whole series, his journey is not only to fight the villains, but also to find out what is his desire, what does he want in his life. And eventually he found out that, should I say like a spoiler alert or something for it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's pretty far in the past at this point, right? So I think it's fair, but
yeah, by chance you may guess what he want to get what his dream or wish is.
I don't know. For the world to be free of greed.
Not that grand scheme.
Okay.
He actually wished just simple thing that when he start to get more power, he desired to get what he realized that he desired power.
Oh, interesting.
And so he tried to gather as many coins. He destroyed some of those to prevent the monster from getting more stronger getting stronger. And so he was willing to trace his humanity into become one of those monsters. It's like become like a lord of the coins or something. And it's kind of fun when he want to have those power to like help everyone in the world. Him tackle with the kind of dilemma of a hero that cannot save everybody
right.
that he want to save. Like sometimes Batman or Spider-Man have to can only be able to save a few people, and some of his their important people like their girlfriend get killed by the villain.
Right.
Yeah. And in this show, there's no such thing. Actually, he kind of make him make an alliance, and they become friend. He make friend with one of the villain. No more like a so the villains come in a group, and he make friend with the monster that have a sky animal power. And this villain betray his own kind of like a monster race in the past, and then in the present they just team up with the heroes, with the Kamen Rider, hoping that the Kamen Rider will be able to help him get more coins from all the monster to get stronger.
Right. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So, yeah. That's kind of thing. And in the lore, they explain that back in some ancient civilization, there was once a king who ruled many lands and conquered many nations. And that king is so powerful, but he still desire more from life. He asked his retainers to create some kind of weapon for him to be more powerful. And so they create this kind of medals, this kind of power coins. And when they remove one coin from each set of 10 coins, those coins become like they gain consciousness, and they become a sentient being that we get to know to become the monster in the series, become the villain. and they kind of wreck Harvard on the this kind of country, this kind of kingdom, trying to get the 10 coins back. So each of the villain monster already have 9 coins inside themselves, and the kings use the extra 10 coins from each set to transform into the Kamen Rider, and the king managed to defeat all the villain, and you know, after he got like all the sets of coins and with 10 coin set, he like tried to transform activating all the coins at the same time, and he become like a overpower, and he kind of lose control of himself. That creates some kind of like calamity that's seal all the monster and the king at the same time. Then his people put everything into a tomb or something.
Right.
This lasts to the modern day when the protagonist found out about it.
Opens it up again.
The protagonist didn't open the tomb, but one of the coin managed to escape the tomb, and kind of released the seal on its own. Yeah, and maybe as part of the architecture messing with the tomb, so the monster come back, and this one coins belong to the sky animal monster that I told you about, and he gave the Kamen Rider belt to the protagonist to transform into the Kamen Rider. Yeah, also the 3 coins that the king in the past used. But the story kind of emphasized how the king of this ancient civilization was a very greedy person.
Mm-hmm.
And in the modern day, his successor is someone who has no desire, who is just drifting in life from place to place. And he also kind of appealed to me that from the first look, he seemed like a very dumb, silly person.
Okay.
Who doesn't think much, but he actually is very clever and kind of scheming sometimes when he managed to snatch lots of coins from the villain, even though he have to fight on his own. Yeah, the Kamen Rider fight alone instead of having a team.
Yeah.
And the series also introduced a big corporation in the modern day that know about the lore of the old ancient civilization and the fight between the kings with the monster.
Yeah.
And that corporation CEO may have plot the whole thing for the monster to come back into the modern day, and also kind of ask his researcher team to develop motorcycles and sword and weapons for the Kamen Rider to use. He even create his own Kamen Rider system, so to let his employee become Kamen Rider.
Wow.
And we have a secondary to a third Kamen Rider appear, and you know what, his whole goal is to help the protagonist to realize his desire, that is power. And this CEO is just kind of like a mastermind, so you get a mastermind beside the main villain, the trying to the kind of like create a new world or something.
Wow. Lots going on.
A lot of going on.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Oh, okay.
So I want to get, well, it's great. Yeah, I want to get to one more of the songs that you suggested. And then we can come back and wrap up. This one is from Ultraman.
Yeah, all right. Ultraman is also like a popular franchise in Japan, right? Just not as popular as Kamen Rider or Super Sentai. They're kind of iconic, and I'm not sure if you know what's their concept.
I don't, but let's play the song, and then when we come back, you can let us know the concept.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cool.
Okay.
Here we go. This is the opening from
Ultraman Zero.
Ultraman Zero. Hey, welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF. That was the theme from Ultraman Zero. I'm here with Min. Min, tell me really quick about Ultraman.
Oh, sure. So Ultraman's franchise, mainly about a race of advanced, powerful alien race that also like get powered by the sun. It kind of like a Superman's in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But the giant builder beings, they're huge. They kind of like a tall building size, maybe, I don't know, 50 meter, like kaiju size, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They fight kaiju too. So it was like giant monster.
Yeah.
And usually it's about some Ultraman come to Earth in some of their mission, and they lost their way home, and they kind of like fuse into a human being as they're this guy. They kind of just being like symbiote together. Mm-hmm. And whenever a monster show up, that human being that they chose to fuse with gonna use the transformation device to turn into Ultraman.
Right.
Yeah, and story usually is deal with like a ecology system, also like a sci-fi space alien fighting, that kind of thing.
Cool.
And Ultraman Zero's I think Ultraman Zero is just the most popular Ultraman out of the whole franchise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really quick, because we only have about 45 seconds, but who would win, Superman or Ultraman?
Superman may seem better, have a better advantage, because the American writers give him a lot of blood armor, I know for sure.
Right.
He survives a nuclear blast, black hole, or like a Big Bang or something. I know. There's comic issues having those kind of thing for Superman. But maybe just in a usual scenario, at this usual state, Ultraman may defeat Superman.
All right. Well, we'll pick this back up another time. Thanks for joining me, Min.
Yep. Thank you, Jesse.
Democracy Now! Is up right now. Stick around.
Okay.